Yes, Brother Mark, welcome. I want to take this opportunity to thank God for bringing us home here today. I want to tell you, and you will also concur with me, that the week has been full of flu. The week has been full of common cold. The week has been full of muscle pain, and people are not feeling well. So for you to dare the devil and come, what do you say? Yes, because it is by God's power that you said you want to sit me down, but I will not. Isn't that what you said? That is what we all are here for. I want to thank God for all of you. And personally, I have a very special thanks for all of you who keep on attending. Yes, members have been complaining of cold here in this room. What do we do? This is our place of worship. Cold or hot, it is ours. Hilma has tried to adjust this thing. There is no heat coming. So let us just take a very short time, and then we will be done. And talk about I know whom I have believed. A song which we have sung, a song you love so much, a song you have sung for very many years, that I know whom I believed, and you are persuaded. I am persuaded to come before him. Against all the odds, the fact is that because you know you are God, you will not budge, even if the world tries to bend your way. That is number. Now that is number. Then number two is this song we have just presented. The sunlight in my heart. Yes, how many have sung that song at home or anywhere? So lift your hand high, Monica. Thank you. Yeah, we have sung that song. That there is sunlight in my soul. There is sunlight in my soul today because of what the Lord has done. Several times, these songs keep us going as we wait upon the second coming of the Lord. And you saw what happened in the lesson today. Yes, the Lord is here calling you an Israelite indeed, without no guile has been found. No guile has been found in your mouth. Didn't he tell Nathaniel so? Is the same Nathaniel who said, "Can anything come from good come from where?" But the Lord is saying, "An Israelite indeed, in whose mouth no guile has been found." So you are here, a sinner saved by grace, and the Lord just want to let you know that you are an Israelite indeed. There is no guile which has been found in you. So when you sing that I know whom I believed, the Lord says that you are doing just what is right. So that is the third thing I would like to mention before we go into the sermon. Another thing is the oncoming week of prayer, which begins next week. This one has been a tradition back home, and we are already participating in it back home, actually from next week, and the others are starting on 9th. So today we are in a certain group called Tell It to the World. That group of ours is called Tell It to the World because it was a general conference motto I think 10 years ago. So we formed that Tell It to the World. This group is also, we have gone into various churches today, back in Kenya, and me and my team, we are here. So we just want to participate together with you in this program. As I pray that the will of God be done. In John 21, verse 15, Jesus told Peter, look at me here, Peter, feed my what? Feed my what? So may the will of God be done in such a way that his sheep, who have come on their own to be fed. And that is my prayer. The same sermon I would like to present, I presented sometime in 1998 when she was alone. We were having a camp meeting, but the conference sent me to a camp meeting in 1998, and the topic is about know your mentor. Know your mentor. Know your mentor. This is a serious issue because contemporaries have a tendency to misguide or make you lose your way. But if you know your mentor, according to an American writer who said that strive to understand your mentor. There are those people who witness rubbish in your ears, even here. He's also trying you to take you his or her own way. That is a mentor. There is another one who wants to direct you in the footsteps of God. That's a mentor. So this person said, learn and know your mentor well, or else you get lost or you succeed. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank you so much. For the next 20 or so minutes, we just want to invite you to show us the way, lead us and feed us, that as you told Peter to feed your flock, Master, it is our time to feed one another from your dish. What a wonderful coincidence with the children's story. What we feed on matters a lot. What we present before your people have a lot of bearing with our faith. But thank you, our Lord, because we know the person we have believed. Nobody will take us away from you. It is our prayer that we just do your will in Jesus' name. Without much stories, there is this scenario where Jesus had a time with Mary at the well. Whatever went on in the lives of Mary and Jesus, I don't want to come in. What I want to go into is what Jesus told this lady. Because the lady kept on talking. When Jesus talked, she also kept on sort of highlighting where they'd go and worship. But Jesus told her, that time has come. Time is coming when he shall neither go to worship there nor there. You shall worship in truth and what? And spirit. Because you do not know what you are worshiping. That is why you keep on telling us that we worship on Mount what? Mount Zion. We worship in Jerusalem. Time is come and time is now. the Lord is saying that we worship in the... Remember, when we came to this church from the other side, Sister Zhu was the Sabbath school leader over there. Sister Suzette, you know that. And Cole was up here with Hilma, and all of us were scattered in between these two people. Why am I saying this? The Lord is here confirming to Mary that it is time now not to worship in that place you call Jerusalem anymore. Because the person has come over. The person has come over in whom you have to believe. When Paul took this message, brothers and sisters, on his way to persecute people, he met the Lord on the way as he was moving along. And then after mentorship, who mentored Paul? Well, Barnabas mentored Paul into what his responsibility was supposed to be. And then Paul picked it up from there. And then Paul said, now I am a servant of God. In Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul also says that, in Romans he says, I'm a servant. Now in Corinthians he says, and I'm an apostle. Brothers and sisters, the way we are sitting here, each one of us is an apostle. Just imagine you have left it all for the sake of Christ to come and worship and fellowship with others. Doesn't that one make you an apostle, let alone the rest? Doesn't that one make you an apostle? Yes, it does make you an apostle of Jesus Christ. It does make you a servant of Jesus Christ. Paul needed no any other explanation. Paul needed no any other elaborate introduction. Paul needed just one thing, that he was made an apostle of Christ by Christ himself on the way to persecuting people. So as he went on, sharing, like this year's week of prayer program talks about, I will go and share the word of God. So Paul went on sharing and Paul went talking about others were fearing him because they knew who he was and how he was torturing people and how he was bullying people. So so many people heard of this same Paul. But the same people who heard about him were very senior lecturers. Paul was educated by a man called Gamaliel. Gamaliel was not just a simple lecturer for you, was he? Gamaliel was a very senior person in the lecture hall and then in the lecture university. He lectured Paul and inducted Paul, mentored Paul, and Paul came out to be what he was. So, in Acts chapter 17, we see Paul being summoned. John the Baptist was summoned, was visited several times. They even sent the Levites and the Pharisees to go and find out whether he was Elijah, whether he was a prophet. Why is he talking of this? So Paul was also summoned. When Paul was summoned before very, 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 very sharp people, the elite of the community, the elite of the education, what is it that you keep on talking about? This is what the song says, I know whom I believed. When Paul met Jesus, he never took a second step again. He went forward with Christ. So when I see you coming, whether you doze a little bit during the sermon, it is all right, because I don't know what type of life you went through in the night past. So Paul himself was called. When Paul was called, I would like you to turn with me only that chapter, Acts chapter 17. We look at verse 23 downwards, but we'll not read all of it. All right, so thank you, ma'am. Then Paul stood in the midst. Let us look at that. Giving testimony, Paul is talking before these people. Midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens." I thought I would rather replace Athens with Harrow. "You men of Harrow, I perceive that in all the things you are too superstitious." In all things, you are superstitious. I am leading the way for people in Harrow, part of the superstitious group of people. That is Paul now standing before his very, very educational elites. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" Brothers and sisters, we are moving in the same direction. We are worshiping the same God. We are conducting devotions. But somehow, there is a scratch on our face, on our back, on our hand. Paul tells these guys that you do so well worshiping, but there is something you are doing. You have put an inscription, that is a signboard or a post or a board, whatever, a board. You have written it, "To the unknown God." But the devotions you are conducting, you do it ignorantly. "So I've come to declare to you." Is there anything in our hands, in our midst, that does not please our God? Each one of us to ask, much as he has called us and much as we have responded to come before him. I mentioned, God led me to mention this in this camp meeting in 1998, somewhere within the church precincts, about we may be gathered together worshiping, but we are worshiping ignorantly. Why? Because there is a lot, one or two things we need to put straight before our God. John said, "I am not Elijah. I am not the prophet." The other day, John had told them that there is one who is coming ahead, whose shoes I am not ready. I'm not worthy enough to untie the shoelaces. Now, I am proclaiming to you the same God. And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes and then he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Two of his disciples, you saw in the week, two of disciples left John and switched their camps to a higher authority. So as we move on, we see a group of people worshiping. They worship all right, but they worship unknown God. And they worship, but they worship ignorantly. It is my prayer that even as we move along, as we brave this cold atmosphere with all the common cold and with all the headache, and we've come before the Lord forgive us. Because I remember what went through the head or the mind or the heart of Nathanael when Jesus saw him from far, when Philip brought him. Jesus called him an Israelite indeed, in whose mouth has no guile. He wondered, how did this man know me? How? Yes, I saw you. You are sitting at the foot of the fig tree. This one drives this man away and mad again. The way I had said that, is there anything good which can come out of Azariah? Is there anything good which can... Surely this man has unveiled me and has seen me. And then he started lecturing him. Immediately, he finished lecturing Nathanael took a stand and followed Christ. Amen. So when these people heard that they have in their mind that there is a known God, they don't understand. They are worshiping, okay, but they worship what they don't know. But at the door, at the gate, they have put a signboard of unknown God. Are we sure whom we believed? Are we aware of how much me as a sinner, that one was verse 3, as a sinner, he gave his life that you may be called a child of God? All of us have been brought up. Let me give an emphasis on this verse 24. God hath made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not even temples made with hands. God calls upon each one of us now to forget about the beauty of the churches, the beauty of the buildings, the success story of your education, and how much money you earn at salary level. No. Let us come together and say, I will go and share the word of God. This is the call the Lord wants. It doesn't matter. When Paul was introducing himself, you know, there is a problem in doing introduction. Somebody wants to take 5 minutes parading all the qualifications of an individual on the pulpit here. Paul is putting it simple and clear that I am an apostle of Jesus Christ who was called by his grace. He goes there and says, I am a servant of God. Why all these degrees you are parading before us? Are they necessary? So are we worshiping a God we understand, or we worship one we understand? Have we put a prescription, an inscription somewhere? An inscription somewhere saying that to the unknown God, or we worship the one Jesus tells Mary, that we worship the one we know. For you worship one you don't know. May God bless us as we crown it with the 1 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter, sorry, chapter 1, verse 4. Chapter 1, verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. Yes, chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together, the way we have assembled together. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, not many days hence. So we need to understand that in Jerusalem, in the church, in our group here, we need to understand the mode of baptism, why we were called upon. Did we regret the way Nathanael regretted? Nathanael regretted for saying that, can anything good come out of there? But when he met Jesus, there are three things which took place. He regretted what he said earlier, and then he repented. He repented in his soul. And then the third one, he followed Jesus. This is where we are. So when Christ comes up and says, Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, feed my lambs. He started with the lambs. He came up again the second time with the lambs. And then he went to the third time to the sheep. What did Jesus mean? Jesus talks of these very little ones. These very little ones. If ever you will annoy you, if ever you will discourage them, the Lord will not forgive us at all. God has given us opportunity, each one of us, to feed one another, to encourage one another, to edify one another. Do not speak jargon. Bring everybody on board in order for us to walk with the Lord. The church has an elaborate program for you and me, not from the church, but from God himself, that we participate fully in the week of prayer. We participate fully in the nomination process which has taken place. It is not your work. Paul has said, I was called to be an apostle. I was called to be a servant. Time has come that I must exhibit this same call which I've been given. I want to thank God in a very special today. Sabbath school, we started with very many people. Sabbath school was started with, like, unlike before, we get three or four, but today we were very many. Why don't you also wake up again next week? Try next week. Monica has challenged the children. Try this for 1 week. So try it again and again, because you have been called an apostle. The Lord tells each one of us that we are here to encourage one another. We are here to do what is right. We are here to forget about the unknown God, which has been written. Paul has come and told these well-educated people that I've come to declare to you this unknown God which you have put on the board there on the gate. So if he had declared it, people were so touched. People were so touched. People who went to school, Gamaliel School, people were so touched. And they asked Paul to do what? What did they ask Paul to do? They told Paul to come again next week and tell them. What do you say? God bless you as we go into deeper yet. The last song, deeper yet. I know whom I've believed, and I will remain faithful to him. Yes, God bless you.